Hi, I'm Tam.
And I'm Eternally Mortal.
And this is the Hidden Egg Podcast, where we talk about vulnerability.
And stuff. And things.
And articles on Medium.com. And you're listening to Season 5, Episode 5. Today's theme is summertime memories.
Nice, nice.
I almost forgot what the theme was.
Yeah. I was wondering, because like I missaid the theme earlier in the pre-show, and I didn't know if that was going to haunt you somehow.
No, I don't think it did. My brain just kind of dumped everything out. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like a purse.
Yeah, that happens. That happens.
So to people that are just coming into what is our show called? The Hidden Egg.
The Hidden Egg.
Jesus,
Hidden Egg
what is wrong with my brain today?
What's wrong? New day, new brain.
So we have sound bites now. We have like 24 different sounds that people in the live audience can make happen. Or, I'm so happy that you're here. Or
like
us.
That.
And second off, we are trying to focus on articles that people want us to see for the theme. So I want to like kind of get ahead of the things. We've been searching for people, and that's still a thing that we are doing. But I also want to give people the opportunity to provide us with articles that they have written or plan to write that will fit our future themes. So next week is an interview, so we're doing a 2 week in advance sort of thing. By the time this comes out, it'll be like a 1 week, but still, you know, baby steps. So
yeah,
next week's theme we decided was what now? Movies and shows? No.
Religion.
Right. Religion. I have no idea what's happened to my brain.
We hit the boop and we just have to go into mode, and it just doesn't always work out that great, and that just happens.
Yeah,
but
so
I really important question for you.
What's
how's
that?
your toes?
God is
In
mad
fact,
at us.
How's your toes?
God is mad at us.
How's your toes?
God is mad at us.
I can't spam them like I did earlier. That's funny. It's like the regular episode is just like powerful, but pre-show
bubble,
gets to
bubble. I can. I wonder why you can't.
Well, I mean, it's in such a way that you only hear the beginning of the word instead of the whole word. You know? That's what I was doing earlier.
Bubble?
Like that. Did you not hear?
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
All right. That was fun.
Anyway. Summertime memories is our theme for this week's episode of the Hidden Egg Podcast, and we found some bangers.
Yeah, but before we do that, we found one article that does not fit the theme at all. I mean, it's a summer theme, I think.
And it's a memory.
And
certainly.
It is a memory, but it wasn't happy, and that was, we wanted happy memories. This one is pretty deep and dark. It's called It Felt Like the End of the World in the Summer of 74 by Marsha Aboud. I don't know if I'm butchering that last name, but...
Right. Sorry if we are. But it was... And the subtitle is reveal-y, honestly, about the story. But the story reads both like a horror film and like a tragic real life story at
right.
the same time.
And now that I'm looking at it, we should have known from the kicker, childhood trauma, cockroaches. Come on. Why did we miss that? How did we miss that?
What? Oh. Yeah, I didn't see the kicker.
I didn't, this to me. But it was a great read. It was captivating. Like so captivating that I was like I have to finish this. Like, I know we're not going to talk about it in depth or anything, but I still have to finish it. So I wanted to shout it out before we got started on the rest of them.
Because it really was, I mean, it was clear that it wasn't going to fit our happy time, summertime memories theme, within the first couple of paragraphs, but we just had to finish it. It's 10 minutes and we still had to finish it. It was great. Yep. Go check it out.
So the next shout out does fit, and it is happy, but we didn't have a whole lot to say about it when we really thought about it, because it's by the Sturge. It's about his family. It's a lot of stuff that if we tried to say it, it basically would just be reading the article. And it's called "The Highlight of Summer Has Always Been Our Birthdays."
Yeah, and I can say that, you know, Sturge, I don't want to go too in-depth because I don't want to tell the story and everything, but, like, I know what it's like to struggle in summer just because the heat sucks, and finding a highlight like birthdays is such a delight, and I thought Sturge really did a great job in showing us his experience with regard to summer. I hope I was vague enough. I feel like I did it wrong again.
I think you just feel like that. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah. What's wrong with me?
All right. So yeah, go check this one out. It was really nice. I felt, you know, uplifted by his story, and there were some slightly sad things in there too, but overall it was a net positive and made me wish that I had more birthdays in summer.
Right. And it's another snapshot into the mind of our friend Sturge, which we always love. So
the awesome. Next one is, I believe it's our last actual, like, shout out technically.
We have like a half, we have like,
yeah,
a shout
that's
out
true. Coming. But this one's by Robin Wilding. Probably, mm-hmm. like, she's pretty well known, I think, by now. And it's called "Summer Haze in a Sweaty Days," and it was wonderful. But it was a song / poem, and to do much about it, again, is reading the article. But it left me, I don't know about you, but it left me just feeling like I had lived through snippets of every past summer in the reading of it.
Right. It was such a it was as a song, because, like, I was reading these aloud at this point when we came to this one. I tried to be a little sing-songy with it, because I thought it was really cute and worded very well. But, like, my self-consciousness eventually got the better of me, and I just kind of stopped at a certain point. But it was great. It was a great read, and it convinced me that Canadians experience summer too, which I was not convinced of prior to this moment. So, good to know.
Only for 12 days. I mean, she says that.
You know, there's still solidarity there, and I appreciate it.
All right, and then I guess the last, like, half shout out, half we're gonna talk a little bit about it. It's by Jennifer Hobrich or Hobrich. I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name. I'm so bad with names. I'm sorry, guys. And it's called "Mastering the 5 Levels of Kids Summer Awesomeness."
Yeah, and this was such a cute article that, like, really captured a lot of summertime memories and then gamified it.
Yeah, that was my favorite part, was the gamification. She definitely dug into childhood summertime memories, not generic summertime, childhood summertime memories. And the way she, like, gamified it, oh, I love that. I love gamifying life. Anything that gamifies my life is just amazing. It helps me see the world as something that I can do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense. I mean, it really just goes along with the human's kind of desire to have a little bit of control over things. When you just ascribe points to the things in the world, then it gives you a feel like you have a little bit more autonomy than you did before.
And levels. It's the levels that really get to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gives like different levels for things, and you can, like, advance through the levels. I don't know, I just like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was really good, and you should check it out and read it to the end. It's got levels.
Yeah.
it's got levels. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first full in-depth talkie one is by Sarah Paris, and it's called The Grizzly Roller Coaster and My Summer of Bravery.
Right, and oh my God.
Oh my God.
Hang on, I'm taking a drink of water.
Sure. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is. So, I don't know if you had the same experience, Tam, but like, I grew up in a place that did have an amusement park close enough that my parents were able to take me to the amusement park once or twice growing up. And so the Grizzly roller coaster for me was, if I remember correctly, in where I grew up, the big roller coaster was called the Beast.
I didn't live anywhere near a roller coaster, but we did go to Six Flags like twice.
Mm-hmm.
Once I went with my friends, because I think I might have had a job by that mm-hmm. point, and bought my own tickets through school. But most of my roller coaster experience is just carnival rides, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't even remember if I overcame my fear and actually rode the Beast. I don't know. But this Grizzly roller coaster, My Summer of Bravery, was such a... I'm trying to scroll your copy up there. My own. Was such a trip down
so immersive.
Nostalgia lane for me, honestly, because like I kind of remember that. I kind of remember, you know, the feelings that kids have about competing and being cool and everything like that. And like, this was so good. You could rewrite this into a freaking movie, honestly, if you wanted to.
It'd be a great little heartwarming Lifetime movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, I didn't have that fear of roller coasters. I did. I remember doing riding the Batman ride. It was amazing. I loved it. It was scary, yeah. But like, it lasted like a minute and a half, and I think was like 3 G's or something. Like, it was amazing. It was one of those like memories I'll never forget. And I went on like the Screaming Eagle and mm-hmm. the log flume thing. Oh, that's right. I had when I was a really, really young kid, I did have an experience where we went to Branson and uh-huh. we went to Silver Dollar City, and there's kind of a roller coaster there. It's nothing like Six Flags, but they had some kind of roller coaster there, and I think that was probably my earliest thing. So I had like these fond memories of that to rely on. But then like as I got older in my 20s, you probably remember roller coasters were not great for me. The like slowest roller coaster started like giving me panic attacks. I don't know what happened. I think it might be like an inner ear thing, or I'm not sure, but like something about the movement now, it causes like an undue amount of anxiety and stress.
Yeah, I kind of forgot we did try the Six Flags thing very early in our year together, huh?
Yeah, and we ended up in the Lazy River, I think, the Wave Pool.
I think we did both, and ain't nothing beat a Lazy River. Especially, and now at this age, I'd definitely be a lot more safe about sunscreen. But my God, that's so chill.
Yeah, so I actually did what Sarah did in reverse.
Yeah, you kind of did, didn't you?
A little bit.
Absolutely. But Sarah's article like really captured a whole lot of the whole feeling of it. Like there was, I mean, I don't know how deep we get into these to like give away story bits or whatever, but I mean,
There is no way we can possibly do the story enough justice for people to not want to read it.
Yeah, but there was a friend brought along that was seen as, you know, the brave friend, and then the understanding dad doing the best he can to like...
Oh my God, like, that was the part that like, I wish I had had that in my youth. I'm sorry, but like that's amazing. Because I grew up thinking that, like, the people that could just do things and not even care, those were the courageous people. And that's not true.
No.
That's not who's brave. Bravery requires some amount of fear.
Right. Exactly. It's acting despite fear that creates courage. That is what courage is.
I wish I had known that, because I thought I was courageous all those years when I was just doing things that other people didn't want to do, but I wasn't afraid of it.
Right.
That hurt me in the long-term sense. I'm sorry, I keep talking over you. Right. That hurt me in a long-term sense of, like, I thought that when I was afraid, I needed to run away because I couldn't brave it.
Because if you were braving it, you wouldn't feel the fear.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people feel that way. It's like, if I was a brave person, I wouldn't feel this fear. It's like, no. You can still be a brave. The bravery is about the choice, not the feeling. The feeling that comes, you don't have a choice over the feeling. It just happens.
Right.
Yep. And it's so hard to teach that to anyone under the age of, what, 25? Honestly.
30, maybe.
Maybe. Like, the words can make sense to some young people, but, like, I don't know that the reality of the situation makes sense until you're looking at something and you're like, I have no confidence that I can do this thing, or that it's going to be okay, or that I'm not going to get hurt, or that I'm not going to hurt other people, but I'm going to do it anyway because I feel like I need to or want to, or it's worth it, you know?
I'll tell you, I've done a lot of my courage, bravery building in my adult years, post 30, and it is much, much harder to do as an adult. You don't have that folly of youth, of that pre-30s people seem to still have, even though they don't realize it. There's like this unfounded confidence that y'all just come with. And you don't have that after 30, because after 30 you're like, oh my god, I'm gonna die one day. And like, it's not like it's a secret. It's not like something that you just suddenly wake up and realize what that means. And I don't know how to explain that any other way. It's something happens and you just no longer have that unfounded confidence in you anymore. And it is so much harder to be like, I am afraid, but I'm going to do it anyway after 30 because of that. If you haven't had experiences where you did that prior.
Right. It's easier to come by if you have a history of it, certainly. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Sarah was above 30. But
you mean now?
No, when the story took place. I think
sure, it was a 10. They were like 10 years old, 11 maybe.
Which is also equally difficult, because fear at 10 years old is phenomenal. It's huge.
Yeah. Honestly, like, you know, our protagonist for this story, this is a memory, but you know, Sarah was would have been fourth grade mortals icon, like fighting against that fear enough to go do it in front of people that you care about. It's amazing, truly. And I don't think I ever did it, honestly. I really don't think I ever rode the beast.
Only maybe, to go back to maybe thing. One day we'll have to go to a roller coaster and brave that together.
I'd have to go specifically to that one, and I don't even know that fucking coaster might be defunct by now, but it shouldn't matter.
I might need to take some things.
You do what you gotta do. You know,
you do what you gotta do. Like, I can still feel afraid and not put my body in jeopardy of, you know, heart failure or something. I'm old.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, worthy read right here. Definitely took us both through some really intense journeys in our head, and I don't know what more to say about that we haven't already said. But
yeah, and Sarah, if you ever happened to listen to the episode, thanks so much for writing it. It was a really, really good story. It got me into my feels a little bit, got me into my nostalgia a little bit. I appreciate that.
We,
I think
on to the next one.
Ready? We can probably move on to the next one.
Sorry, I no, keep interrupting you. I don't know what's wrong.
No. I think you're doing. I don't think we're doing great. I think it's great.
Okay, the next one. Lies. The next one is by Clara Jane Holloway. Love that name, by the way. Mm-hmm. And it is called A Fling in the Summer of 1970 Taught Me a Valuable Lesson.
Yep. Yeah. This one. Now, I have to keep reminding myself that this was 1970.
Yeah.
The world was different in 1970.
Very.
So it reads, like, the early parts of this read like any 90s teen romance movie, honestly. Like, it just shouts that. And it was well written enough to, like, go there. Maybe it's because you brought up movies earlier. That's why movies are on my brain.
Maybe.
All of a sudden, I don't know.
No, well, anyway. Actually, I think she says something about, like, Patrick Swayze or something.
Maybe. She might have, yeah. And how deep do you want to get into this? Because, like, I thought the story was so well written because it went along this path, showing us this, you know, like, romance with all these details and all this little intricacies of what it was like and how it felt and how people were affected. And then the turn happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know a turn. I believe I know it. The one that he's a jerk.
Right. Like, the turn happens and then it's kind of revealed in a paragraph or two or whatever that he's not great at the end of the day.
Yeah, but the thing that bugs me is that it doesn't really seem like it wasn't written as him being a jerk, and it I want it to be. He was a jerk.
So, yeah. It's really important, I think, dude, that's why I brought up that it's from 1970, and it's clear that whatever happened, this writer has, you know, not only forgiven him for the way that he kind of unfortunately reacted at the end of that. Sorry, I'm stumbling over my words now.
We're trying really hard not to say what happens because I want people to go and read it, because if we say what the turn is, it's going to have a different feel when you read it.
Yeah, the whole thing. I mean, and honestly, us saying anything negative about him is still going to kind of turn it a little bit. But I think everyone knows. I think everyone knows that, like, every 20, especially from 1950 to 2010, every 21-year-old dude was a piece of shit. Let me just let you know, like, that age for a masculine, a cis, specifically cis gendered masculine person, is just constantly just wrapped up in hormones. Let's say hormones. And say hormones instead of other more bad things to say. So that's kind of just the way it is. But, you know, I really like the fact that she was very, you know, nostalgic and positive about the memory itself and got positives out of the experience and everything like that. I'm glad that she didn't let, you know, what inevitably happens when you hang out with a 21-year-old for long enough that it goes a little south. She didn't let that bring her down, you know?
Yeah.
It would have given the reader, I think, a little bit of, some readers at least, a little bit of, like, catharsis to be like, wow, what an asshole at the end, you know? Just one of those. But, like, it's not necessary to the story from my perspective.
I do think that the message, like the lesson that she learns at the end, I do think that is a valuable lesson. I just personally, I would not have felt that was the takeaway from, if that had happened to me.
Right.
That's not exactly what I would have taken away from it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But it was very well written. And, you know, the article was published, the story was published, like, a week and a half ago, roughly. And we are in 2024 right now, which means this is a 54-year-old memory.
Yeah, well, on top of that, it helped me to realize something while we were reading it that I don't know if you remember, I shared it with you when we read it together.
Probably.
That, like, as I'm reading through this, I'm, like, thinking to myself, like, she was 17, and I was thinking to myself, man, at 17, yeah, I never would have, this would have never happened. Like, I would never have thought this about, like, somebody. I wouldn't have been in that position, blah, blah, blah.
And it, been this vulnerable?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been that vulnerable or naive, even. And I started thinking about it and realized that, like, oh, this whole time in my life, I've thought that because I was, like, hypersexualized at 14 and kind of put into a sexualized relationship way, way, way too soon with an older man, I was like, I started, like, I thought that the things that were vulnerable and naive that I went through, I thought that that was because I was just 14. I was like, well, if I had been exposed to that stuff later, then it wouldn't have happened that way. It would have happened differently. And now reading through this particular article, I realize it's just the naivety. It wasn't right. My age. It was the fact that it hadn't happened and I didn't have any experience with it.
Right. Lack of experience, exactly. And it's so easy to look back at our past selves and be like, what a silly, silly person that did that. Why would you do that, you silly person? Don't you know better? And it's like, no. No, we didn't.
No, they don't.
Did not know better. Because it just didn't happen in such a way that we learned that previous. But whenever we learned that, probably was a little traumatic.
Right. And, like, it still was, like, my age at 14, that was still way too soon. But the naivety, the vulnerability, the way people could take advantage of me, that would have still happened later anyway. There was nothing saving me from that. It's just that I should not have been experiencing those things so soon.
Right. Exactly.
So this article, like, even with my disagreement of the perspective, it really helped me to kind of see how, I don't know, we learn lessons regardless of the age through just having experiences like this happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Experience is our greatest teacher and always will be. We can have great teachers that we talk about from the past, but experience is what really teaches us something.
And it helps me to remember that just because we age doesn't mean we've learned anything. You know?
Kind of true. So, I know some pretty ignorant old people, is all I'm saying.
So I'm glad that she was able to find a lesson from the experience, even if I wouldn't have learned that lesson. It's not that I don't agree with her lesson being learned from her experience, because that's not my place. But had I been in that same situation, I don't think that's what I would have taken away with it. So right. Even so, I'm still glad that she was able to find something to learn from that experience to enrich her life. And she seems to have worked out a pretty decent life from that point. So, you know, it served her well.
Yeah. And I want to add real quick, I'm happy she had the romantic experience that she had, those weird, intimate romance interactions that happen. Those have a special kind of beauty to them, especially if they don't end up in actual trauma. Right. You know?
Gotta love a summer fling.
Yeah, it's so cute and it's such an interesting experience, and not everyone gets to have them. Like, it's kind of rare to a certain extent. And so I'm glad she had the experience, and I'm glad that she went the direction that she did. Honestly, hopefully I'm not... What are you going to say?
No, go ahead.
I hope this isn't too spoilery, but it's kind of a better version of The Notebook, if I'm being honest.
I can agree with that. And getting just a little bit personal, and I can cut this out if you want me to, but you and I were technically a summer fling.
We were spring fling.
Well, I guess that's true.
It was around our birthdays, yo.
Yeah. It was warm, though. Like, it was pretty hot out. I did things that I did in that summer, so, like...
I'm pretty sure it was pretty hot, but I don't know that it was the temperature or the weather that was making it pretty hot. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I think it was pretty warm around that time, if I remember correctly, but yeah. It was a little spring fling in the summer. Yeah. A summer fling in the spring.
Yeah.
You can have a summer fling in the spring. You can have a summer fling in the winter if you want. I don't care.
I'm just saying, you know, it was kind of similar in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it came back around to eventually being something more serious and evolved into this wonderful relationship thing that we have now. It's hard to explain to people, but you know.
But yeah, we're besties for life at this point, basically, probably. So this is pretty awesome to me. And even discounting everything except for the month that we had, it was definitely my most successful and productive and amazing summer fling, whether it was had in spring or not, ever had. I had many flings that I would consider, but like a fling didn't even have to end in a kiss. Like, I could just have a crush on someone and them be friendly with me, and then that was my fling, and it was exciting and delightful. So,
dude,
and some of them lasted a weekend, and some of them lasted a week, and yours and mine lasted a month. So it was pretty sick, pretty awesome, honestly, from my perspective.
Cute.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
All right, so now we're on to the last one.
What's wrong with me? On to the last one.
The last one was my favorite one by Deborah G. Harmon. M-E-D, I don't know what that means, but that's part of her handle. And it's called Canning Sweet Summer Memories Under the Stars.
Yep.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. She was canning during the summer. And that is literally all it is. But it is the most amazing article about canning under the stars and creating memories that I've ever read. I wanted to cry. I felt fuzzy and warm, and like I had just experienced a summer day and I was relaxing into the summer night with some jam, homemade jam, and some toast. It gave me that feeling. Like I had that feeling after reading it. I loved it.
Yeah. And the way I described it, I think if I remember correctly afterwards, was that, you know, it's almost like you just got to hang out in this woman's mind while she was doing some of the activities that are necessary for the canning.
Yeah.
Because, like, her mind just kind of meandered to wherever it wanted to go, and she didn't really seem to have... And this isn't a detriment. I understand that meandering and writing can seem like a bad thing, but I thought it was it was very, very flowy for me. It flowed very well from one thought to the next, and they didn't need to be connected because it genuinely felt like it was just like doing an activity and allowing the mind to wander. It was so comfy. It was so comfy.
It felt a little bit like she had invited us over for canning.
Right.
And we were just having a conversation and that flowed naturally with this homey country feel. Not like, you know, ye old country or like yee-haw country, but like just the down home farmer perspective. My family was like, I come from farmers. Okay. So like that's probably part of what gives me that feeling, but I think everybody has some amount of like that homey feeling of certain elements of the country aspect of like, you know, canning your own stuff, getting, you know, dirty, trying to do the things. I don't know how to explain what I'm saying, but I think everybody has some kind of like homey feeling from that whole country atmosphere.
Right, right. You know, something simple like just creating a food source, taking a raw food source and turning it into a processed food of some sort,
and then enjoying it and enjoying the memory of it
and where it came from. And how it came to be, and how you got there to be doing this thing, and what your history was. Like, it was just delightful. And, like, I've never been the type of person that, like, rooted into a place too much. And, you know, had it to where, like, the same, I was around the same home for decades and decades so that I could just look around and see the memories. The place that I was born in is different from the place that I adolescent, which is different than the place I went to high school in, which is different than where I spent my early 20s, which is different than where I've spent the last 17 years. You know? So being a little window into that perspective was really, really cute to me. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, what else to say about it, but this one was just hands down my favorite. The summer memory that it has left me with was worth the read. I may go read it again.
Yeah, it was really, really cute. And it was just a lady being honest about her experience. And I love that shit. That's all I gotta say.
I need to write more of that stuff, too. I have so many memories. So many memories.
So thanks, Deborah Harmon, for sharing your story with us. We really appreciate it.
Hmm.
Well, sharing, like, you know, writing it on Medium.
Yeah, yeah. So, nobody showed up for the live recording, so I don't have anybody to thank.
Yeah, and I think this might be one of our shorter episodes. It is a pretty busy day, and honestly, after we stop the main show and get into After Party, I'm going to have to run to the bathroom.
You know, sorry, that's pretty usual.
That's pretty huge, for sure. But, you know, here we are. It's definitely a lighter episode than it was last week. Last week was so heavy.
Yeah.
In fact, we have this whole, like, this is heavy.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm so happy that you're here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You mean, yeah, it's time for me to, oh, that's right. It's time for me to get into the, time for me to get into the
oh,
thing.
Well, yeah, I can't give you the cue because there's nobody to thank.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Wait.
To people who have been a part of the live recording previously.
Yeah, absolutely. But wait. Do we want to talk about the YouTube? Was that a thing that we talked about?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing I was going to tell people, maybe. Well, no, I think we decided against it because I wanted people to go to the Substack instead. But I do have the main show videos on YouTube. So
yeah.
Anybody listening, sorry. Here you go.
You could cut that if you wanted to. But anyway,
The uncensored version is on Substack. So that is the superior place to find your Hidden Egg podcast episodes. But if you want, you know, if you're on YouTube already, you might as well check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, dear listener, can be a part of our live action by joining our Discord through themonsteralley.com. Also has links to our articles, Spotify, and Substack. And special bonus, the Substack, as Tam just said, is the only place to get the fucking uncensored version. I didn't say it wrong this time. But I want to thank you, dear listener, for coming along. We really appreciate you, you know, lending your ear holes to us to let us talk about some stuff into. And it's always delightful to talk to you, Tam. I'm eternally mortal. Aw. I'm eternally mortal, and I hope you find smiles to stay.
Really? Aw, thank you.
And I'm the Accidental Monster. You can find us both on Medium.com or through themonsteralley.com. And remember to follow yourself, always.